I'm ready when you're ready.
The last speaker of the morning session let me introduce Dror Bar-Natan, who will speak on the topic, when does a group have a Taylor expansion?
So first of all, I'd like to start with two ideological points. So first is, almost always I give out a handout. And the reason is because when I follow other people's talks, usually at some point I lose them. Because there comes the complicated formula which I didn't read through, and then the slides run to the next, and I'm done, I'm lost, okay? So if you lose me, it will be for other reasons. All the formulas are in front of you and will stay in front of you. Also, you'll get to take it home and look at it again if you feel like it. Also, there is a URL on it where you can find everything about this talk. And the other ideological point is that I try to videotape almost all of my talks. And again, the reason is not that I think my talks are worth preserving. The reason is that I think your talks are worth preserving, but they aren't. So I'm always frustrated when I sort of remember a talk half a year later and I cannot see it again. So it's not going to happen to you with me, because you're not going to ever want to look at it again. But you know, I hope you will. You know, I hope other people will start doing it too, so that it will not happen to me either. Okay.
So you make this available?
The URL here will have a link to the video.
Okay.
Okay. The URL on the handout will have a link to the video, and that's my rule, general rule. Almost every talk I've given in the last 6 years or so has these two rules. Okay. I'm going to tell you that there is a notion of a Taylor expansion for an completely arbitrary group, and I'm going to tell you about four groups with four which are examples, and I'm going to tell you just a tiny bit about each one, and maybe I'll start with a disclaimer. You know, I was invited to talk in this meeting about iterated integrals. But it's not what I normally do. And in fact, I was completely surprised by the first three lectures. I mean, they were completely not in the direction that I expected. And on the other hand, there were so many similarities with directions that I did expect, that I did know. So I actually have no clue whether you all will think what I'm going to say is trivial and useless and well-known, or whether you will be lost. I don't know. I'll know in 40 minutes. Okay? But anyway, now let me start with content. So, as I said, what I'm going to talk about works for completely arbitrary groups, though for some groups it's more interesting than for others. So, let G be an arbitrary group, and K, the group ring of that group over the rationals. So the set of all linear combinations, formal linear combinations of elements of the group with rational coefficients. Okay, everybody is familiar with this? Good. So I is the augmentation ideal within the group ring. So it's the set of all formal linear combinations so that the sum of the coefficients is equal to zero. Alternatively, it is the subset, it's the subvector space of the group ring, which is generated by differences, by things of the form G1 minus G2, or in fact even G1 minus the identity, where G1 is an element of the group. Okay? Sorry, it's going to start entirely formal, and then I will show you that I'm actually only talking about the Taylor expansion. Okay? The next definition is, I can look at powers of the augmentation ideal. If I take powers of an ideal, I get ideals, and the higher powers are smaller, right? Because if I take products of more elements in the ideal, it's a stronger constraint. So I can look at powers of the ideals, and then I can look at the mth power of the ideal, mod it out by the m plus first power of the ideal, and look at the sum over m of all of these things. This thing is called the associated graded of K, and I will call it calligraphic A. So it's really A of the group G. Okay? And notice that, well, G was a group, and A inherits a product from G. So basically, if you look, if you have something at I to the K, and you multiply it by something at I to the M, you get something at I to the K plus M. And that descends to the quotients modulo I to the K plus 1, M plus 1, K plus M plus 1. So so you get a graded product on this A, hence it's an algebra, hence the name is appropriate. Now, where is it coming from? So from my perspective, you know, I kind of came to it from knot theory, but basically the place it comes from my perspective, is the theory of finite type or Vasiliev or polynomial invariance of knots. So basically, I to the m plus 1 is things that can be written as a difference times a difference times a difference times a different m plus 1 times. Now, differences are cousins of derivatives. So this is roughly like saying, you know what, no, sorry, I went the wrong way. Let me just say that an element of K modulo I to the m plus 1 dual is a linear functional on K, so it's a linear functional on elements of the groups, so it's a sort of a invariant of group elements, which vanishes under taking iterated differences m plus 1 times. And that's very similar to Vasiliev invariance, if you've seen Vasiliev invariance before. If you haven't, well, just ignore the last sentence. Okay. I'm not done yet with the formal definitions. So, an expansion is a linear map going from K to A, so going from the group ring to its associated graded, which has some formal property. Well, I mean, I could say it in abstract terms, but in less abstract terms, it's actually very, very simple. So basically, if you have an element gamma of the augmentation ideal to the power m, I want z of gamma, so I to the m is in particular a subset of the group ring. So z of gamma should make sense. So I want z of gamma. Well, z of gamma is an element of A. A is a group of, is an algebra of essentially power series, right? The mth element in it's a space of sequences where the mth element is in I to the n modulo I to the n plus 1. So I want z of gamma to be gamma itself, to be 0 up to degree m, then gamma itself in degree m, and then I don't care beyond that. That's an expansion. Now, expansions can have, but can be even better. So you can have better expansions. So first of all, A has a product, K has a product, it's a group ring, and A has a product. So a multiplicative expansion will be an expansion that maps the product here to the product here. And then there is another sort of harder to state property, which therefore I will not state fully, but basically, this whole construction is functorial, and there is the diagonal map going from G to G times G, just mapping every element of the group to itself, comma itself. And that induces a map from A of G to A of G times G, which turns out to be A of G tensor A of G. So that induces a coproduct on A. And then an expansion can be even better. And when it's really, really good, I'll call it a Taylor expansion. And to be a Taylor expansion will mean that you also preserve the coproduct. But again, I don't want to say much more about it. Maybe I'll also say that all of this is somehow rooted in the work of Malsev and, Malsev and Quillen long ago. So it's actually nothing new. Anyway, now comes the example. which should make sense of everything. So I hope you, I didn't lose you on the formalities yet, okay, or at all, okay? But here is the example that will turn it all interesting. So I'm actually modifying it a bit. Basically, the construction makes sense not necessarily for group principle, in fact, makes sense for arbitrary rings with an ideal in them. The whole thing makes sense in a slightly more general context. So so do the same, but instead of K being a group ring, take it to be smooth functions on a Euclidean space. And let I, instead of the augmentation ideal, in fact, in some Fourier sense, this is the augmentation ideal, right? But anyway, but instead of taking directly the augmentation ideal, take I to be the ideal of functions that vanish at zero. Then I to the M is the set of all product of M functions that vanish at zero, smooth functions that vanish at zero, and that's precisely functions that vanish at least M times at zero. Now, if you look at functions that vanish M times at zero, modulo functions that vanish M plus one, so you don't care about functions that vanish M plus one functions, that's exactly degree M homogeneous polynomials. So I to the M modulo I to the M plus one is degree M polynomials, and then A was the direct sum of all of these, completed, sorry. So A is really the ring of power series on a Euclidean space. And you can check that the Taylor series, the good, old, honest Taylor series of smooth functions in Rn, when viewed from this perspective, is a Taylor expansion. So it has this property written here. It's multiplicative, which amounts to saying that the Taylor expansion of a product of two functions is the product of their Taylor expansions. And it's co-multiplicative, which amounts to saying that the Taylor expansion is well-behaved with respect to a function f of x goes to f of x plus y, a function of twice the number of variables, okay? Anyway, so this, so basically what I'm telling you, so basically the bottom line is that the notion of a Taylor expansion can be stated, can be defined, Taylor expansions can be defined completely algebraically, and they make sense for arbitrary groups. So, you know, with no use whatsoever, with no application, with no relation to control theory, even with no application to topology, there are applications to topology, but even without any of that, we must know what it is, right? It's so fundamental. We must understand what it is. Let me add another thing, that in fact, the construction is vastly more general than that. I didn't really need to start from a group. I only needed to start with something that has a product. And in fact, it could have more than one product, and all the notions would still make sense. So basically, everything I said here make sense for categories, operads, metamonoids, whatever algebraic notion comes to mind, practically. So so there is a notion of a Taylor expansion in a vastly more general, context than you would think. So for tangles, for all sorts of things that you would ordinarily not think are even related. Okay, are you with me? Is this okay? Okay, so, but you know, I should start with some examples, and I want to give you four examples. So, first of all, the pure braid group. So, let us, a first example, take the pure braid, by the way, you know, since the Magnus expansion, so let's start with example zero. So, if you do the same thing for the zeroth, So the zeroth example is, if you do the same thing for the free group, the corresponding A becomes the free associative algebra, and an example of an expansion is a Magnus expansion, is the Magnus expansion. Actually, not quite. The Magnus expansion is not co-multiplicative, does not have the correct co-multiplicative property. But there is something near the Magnus expansion which is an exact, which is a perfect example. So it's even it relates towards what was stated before in this session. Anyway, now example number one. So I'll take G to be the pure braid group on n strands. The pure braid group is pi 1 of the space Cn, so it's the fundamental group of the complex numbers to the n minus the diagonal. So it's the basically you look at n complex numbers, but impose the conditions that no two are equal to each other. So you can think of it as, well, here is the complex plane. You can think of it as having n points in the complex plane, which are all different from each other. And pi 1 means that we look at how they move. The best way to see how they move is to add one dimension and let this be the time parameter. And when they move, they form a motion like this. And that's what's called a braid. Pure braid just means that this is the fundamental group, so they come back to where they started. So actually, the picture I drew is not a pure braid, because they didn't move back to where they started. My paths are not closed. They didn't go back from the base point to the base point. A pure braid is when they do come back to where they started. Pure braids clearly make a group. And in fact, it's the group generated by the love behind the bars braids. So here is a love behind the bar braids. It's called sigma ij. You have your n strands, and all of them are vertical except two, which go behind the bars and make love, and then split apart back again. Okay? So these are the generators of the pure braid group on n strands. And well, correspondingly, there are generators for the group ring. The group ring is generated by the same generators, but correspondingly, there are generators for the augmentation ideals. The augmentation ideals is generated by these sigma ij's minus one, right? And then the class, if you call the class of sigma ij minus one inside I minus I squared, if you call it Tij, then it turns out that these Tijs generate A. So the algebra of kind of power series corresponding to the pure braid group is an algebra generated by elements Tij. And then well, the pure braid group also has relations. I didn't write down what they are, but they're kind of standard. People know what they are. They're related to the so-called Rademeister moves of knot theory. And when you translate the Rademeister moves, which happens at the G level, to this A level, they become the following quadratic relations. Quadratic because each one of them is of degree 2 in the generators. So first of all, Tij commutes with Tkl, where ij, k, and l are all distinct indices. And then there is the so-called 4T relation, or sometimes it's called the infinitesimal Young-Baxter relation, which is Tij plus Tik commutes with Tjk, where ij and k are three distinct indices. Okay? And then, what's an expansion? So an expansion for the pure braid group should be a map which to every pure braid associates an element in the algebra generated by these Tijs with that sort of universality condition which I've written before and is on your handout still, okay? And in a multiplicative and co-multiplicative way. So in principle, it's a problem in pure algebra. I don't know a pure algebra solution. The only solution I know is to use, well, is to use iterated integrals or to use more complicated language, which eventually reduces to iterated integrals, so associators and things like that. So let me just briefly tell you what the iterated integral answer is. So the iterated integral answer is that, well, I need to give you an invariant of braids with values in the algebra generated by the TIJs. This invariant is, well, the expansion, and it's called Z of gamma. Think of gamma, the braid, well, here's actually a picture of a braid. Think of it as a motion of n points called z1 up to zn in the complex plane. Okay? So zi is the ith coordinates of the braid. And then write the following absolutely horrible expression. It's the sum integral. Sum integral means you sum over all discrete parameters and integrate over all continuous parameters. So it's the sum integral over m is greater than or equal to 0, m is the degree. And then you have variables t1 up to tn, which are ordered and run from 0 to 1. So 0 is less than t1, less than so on up to tn, less than 0. So these are the integration variables of the iterated integral. And then further, for each of these variables, you have two indices. So for t1, you have two indices, i1 and j1. For t2, you have i2 and j2, and so on, and they're organized as stated here. And then the sum integrand, is the product as alpha goes from 1 to m of, well, you take one generator, t I alpha j alpha, of that infinitesimal braid algebra, and then you multiply it by d of the logarithm of the I alpha coordinate minus the j alpha coordinate. Pictorially, here is a contribution to the degree 3 piece of z gamma. So basically, I have to choose 3 times t1, t2, t3 running from 0 to 1, and they're ordered, and I integrate over the replacement. For each time, I have to choose two strands, the I and the J. So really, I have to choose a cord connecting two of the strands that cut through that time slice. So for T1, I've chosen this cord. For T2, I've chosen that cord. For T3, I've chosen that cord. So that's just one term from this big sum integral. And then I sum over all choices of the chords. I integrate over the times of T1, T2, and T3, the placements of T1, T2, and T3, and in fact, I sum over 3 running from 0 to infinity. And the sum integrand is the corresponding element of the algebra, multiplied by, d log z is really dz divided by z, okay? So it's really d of the change in the coordinate that's changes, that's moving here, divided by this distance in a complex sense. I don't know, it's horrible. Okay, but it's the best we have, right? So it's actually, it would take me probably half an hour to prove that this works. To prove that this works, basically you end up using Stokes' theorem. So at the end, this is an integral over a simplex. When you vary gamma, you can translate it to integrating D of some differential form on that simplex. That reduces to some integral on the boundary of the simplex. And on the boundary of the simplex, it turns out that all the contribution gets killed because of these relations that that are imposed in the target space. Are you still with me? Is this okay? So I mean, now it's clear that you couldn't possibly reproduce the proof, but at least is it clear what I'm after? Okay. Good.
So this is a closed differential forms on Cn minus the diagonal.
Yes, these are closed differential form differential forms with Cn minus the diagonals, right? They're not exact, even though they almost look like they're exact, because log is not well defined. But they are closed. Yes. Okay.
And are you interested in their periods or whether?
Probably other people will talk about it. Definitely. I mean, you know. So I didn't even try to compute anything here. If you try to compute these integrals, it turns out that they more or less reduce to multiple zeta numbers, and other people hopefully will say something about it. Okay? Okay, so what should I say? Just to impress on you on the fact that this is a difficult problem, finding an expansion is a difficult problem. The only solution I know genuinely is using path iterated integrals or harder things such as associators. But just to impress on you on how hard it is, let me tell you that the most naive solution would fail. So the most naive idea of how to find an expansion would be to try to construct it degree by degree. So the degree one of the expansion is essentially given by these universality conditions. And you say to yourself, okay, let's see if I can find the degree two piece, which is compatible with the already given degree one. Well, this turns out to mean writing a number of equations and trying to solve them. You write these equations and try to solve them, and you succeed. But at some point, you stop succeeding. So I don't remember if it's going from between degree 2 to degree 3 or degree 3 to degree 4, but at some point, it becomes the case that not every partial solution extends. So if you guess a solution to degree 3, it will not extend to degree 5, to degree 4. You have to make the right guess in degree 3. So it's not obvious. I mean, and these iterated integrals sort of give you the right guess to all orders all at once. But they're over the right real numbers instead of being over the rationals. The whole problem was over the rationals. After that, you have to work harder to get rid of the real numbers. Anyway, I think I'll move on. Well, I already mentioned that this is the seed for the Greenfield theory of associators, but I think I'll move on to the next example. The next example, I don't want to say much about it. I mostly want to say that it exists. So this is so-called elliptic braids. Elliptic braids are braids on a torus. So basically, you do exactly the same, except that instead of your basic fundamental things where points braid, instead of taking it to be the complex numbers, you take it to be the two-dimensional torus. Okay? So, in other words, you define Cn1, so n for n points and 1 for genus 1, you define it to be the space of all the configuration space of n distinct points on the torus. The torus is just a rectangle with sides identified as shown. Okay? And then and then you define PB1n, so pure braids genus 1 n strands, to be the fundamental group of that. And it's generated by three types of things. So it's generated by the love behind the bars generators of before. So basically, one point goes behind all the others, walks around a second one, another one, and comes back. That's exactly the love behind the bars generators. generator, but then it also has a sort of generators that involves moving only one point, and these are the Xi's and the Yi's and the Yj's. So Yj is one of the points, point number j, kind of takes a hike and goes along the, around the torus in one direction, and Xi is point number I, taking a walk around the torus in the other direction. Okay? And then there are relations, and it's actually fun to try to see why these relations hold true, and it's fun and not obvious. So the group theoretic commutator of Xi and Xj is one. The group theoretic commutators of Yi and Yj is also one. The group theoretic commutator of Xi and Yj is sigma ij, well, actually inverse with my convention, sorry. So in other words, if you do Xi and then Yj and then Xi backwards and then Yj backwards, you get this love behind the bars. So I challenge you to figure out why. Okay? Anyway, correspondingly, there are a few more relations. And correspondingly, there are relations on the associated graded. And it turns out that the associated graded is generated by generators corresponding to the Xi and the Yj. In fact, the sigma ij's are not necessary because the sigma ij's are equal to a commutator of the Xi and Xj by the relations. So the associated graded is generated by the by generators corresponding to the Xi's and the Yj's. And then there are a bunch of relations, and the only thing I want to point out about these relations is that some of them are cubic. So this relation over here is a cubic relation. And that makes life a lot harder without going into details. Basically, there is a developed theory of quadratic algebras, but cubic. But there's less about cubic algebras. At the end of the day, one can construct a Taylor expansion, and the construction again uses iterated integrals, except they're much more sophisticated because they end up involving theta functions and things related to the complex geometry of the torus. And I think that's all I wanted to say about this second example, and I wanted to move on to the next. Is this okay? Yes?
I'm waiting for the rings.
These are the last examples.
Are there similar things for higher genus?
The paper CEE, Kalak, Enriquez, Ettinghoff, the references are on the handout. So that paper is called something like braids on, I don't remember the exact title. It's on the, actually, I can probably read it out. So the title is Universal KZB Equations 1, the elliptic case. Number 2 never came out, hasn't come out yet. So I would expect that things work in higher genus. I know of various other approaches that almost construct the things, the expansions in higher genus, but there is no formal written reference. Okay. So the next group that I want to tell you about is the group of virtual braids, or really pure virtual braids. So pure virtual braids are really braids for dummies. So let me explain. So you know, when you first learn about knot theory, you hear about the Rademeister move. The Rademeister move, the third Rademeister move, the most important one, somehow the biggest one, says that this is equal to that. This braid is equal to that braid. And you know, if you're having problem visualizing it, think of taking strand J and sliding it in between I and K, right? I is above, J is below. Think of sliding it in between to the other side, you'll get to this picture. So topologically, these two are the same. Okay? So now suppose you were dummies, and you tried to turn this into algebra. So you will say, let's look at the group generated by sigma ij, where sigma ij means strand I goes over strand j. So the thing on the left will be I goes over j, then I goes over k, then j goes over k. So it will be sigma ij, sigma ik, sigma jk. The thing on the right, you can check, is what is written here. So braids for dummies will be, you look at the group with these generators, modulo this relation, and also sigma ij, sigma kl commute. My convention is that if four indices appear in the same equation, they're all different from each other. So basically, you know, if something happens between I and j and another thing happens between k and l, well, they clearly commute if all indices are distinct. That's completely wrong. That's a completely wrong presentation of the pure braid group. Because my translation of pictures to algebra was completely wrong. You see, in group theory, or if you sort of, if you try to write this as a product of three generators, so you cut here and you cut here, the generators have no memory. I mean, there is no, I mean, the things that you see in the middle here, no longer, the things that you see in the middle here, no longer remembers that this strand is actually called strand I. The most you can say about it is that it's a braiding between the second strand and the third. The strands lose their identities if you cut it into parts. So my translation of pictures to algebra was completely wrong. Nevertheless, I got a nice group. And that group is called the virtual braid group. And it's different from the ordinary braid group. It's wrong from the perspective of the ordinary braid group. But it's actually good from other purposes. Namely, all quantum invariants of braids, in fact, the whole quantum, sorry, the whole quantum algebra theory of braid and not invariants extends to the virtual setting. So in some sense, this PVBN is in some sense even, well, at least in some algebraic sense, more natural from the ordinary braid group. From the topology perspective, it's less natural. From the perspective of algebra, that's where all the invariants are defined on. So, you know, if you want a sort of Jones-like invariant of virtual braids, no problem, they're there. Okay? Good. Peter Lee, my former student Peter Lee, had proven with great effort, because it's hard, that the associated graded of PVBN, that A of PVBN is the algebra with generators AIJ and modulo these relations. This relation is the infinitesimal version of that one, and this relation is the infinitesimal version of that one. This algebra is quadratic, everything is quadratic, and it does not have a Taylor expansion. So you see, the title of my talk is, when do groups have Taylor expansions? If the answer was always, it wouldn't be interesting. So some groups have, some groups don't. I don't know which groups do and which groups don't. I know a few examples, but I don't know anything more. But I should say that sort of there is a rather tough theory, rather complicated theory, of quantization of solution of the classical Young-Baxter equation. And that theory amounts to saying that something which is near virtual braids does have a Taylor expansion. The thing which is near virtual braids is virtual tangles. So, well, I obviously don't have the time to define virtual tangles, but let me say that they are to braids, they are to virtual braids like tangles are to braids. So tangles are braids that can also go down, also go up, I don't know, that can change direction. So that's a tangle. Okay? Maybe it's a trivial one, I don't know. Anyway, that's a tangle as opposed to a braid. The points can also, well, go backwards in time if you wish, okay? And then the virtual analog of that is the so-called, what should I call it? Circuit algebra of virtual tangles. As I mentioned before, the notion of expansions generalizes way, way beyond groups. It in fact also generalizes to whatever virtual tangles make, which is a circuit algebra. And there is a very deep theory which implies that that there is a Taylor expansion in that case. Okay. And I have 5 minutes for the last example. The last example is flying rings. So, okay. So now I'm again talking about configuration spaces, so motions of things. So it looks likely that if there is an expansion, it will involve iterated integrals, right? It will somehow integrate over the timeline of the motion. But anyway, the things that move now are rings that fly in R3. There are all sorts of versions where the ring can flip and all that, but I'll do the simplest version where the rings are always horizontal. They fly in R3, but they're horizontal. But the radius is not constant, so they can, well, shrink or grow, okay? So they do a certain flight, and at the end they come back to their initial configuration, and that's a PWBN, an element of the pure W braid group on N strands, okay? Now, what can happen? So basically what can happen is that sort of the analog of the love between the bars story is that one ring can fly through another. Sorry, they should stay horizontal. Well, I mean, one ring can fly to another and then come back to where it was. Okay?
In fact, I think I have a picture here, right? So this is the generator, or a part of the generator, because I didn't show the flyback place, the flyback. So they kind of cross or trade places internally and then come back externally, okay?
So these are in addition to the previous generators, right? The old ones are here.
However, the old one died. So the old generators are, well, just trade places. But trade places is trivial because, topologically, because we're one dimension up. So trade places this way or that, or sorry, this way or that way is the same because you can extract, interpolate by trading that way in between. Right? Basically, there is a circle worth of how to trade places, which means that topologically all the trading places are equivalent. Okay? And then, you can write the generators, sorry, the relations for the for this PWBN. So it turns out that W braids are virtual braids. Basically, strand number I goes through J and comes back. But now they retain their identities. So actually, things do make sense. Modulo one additional relation, and I think in the interest of time, I will not show you, but I will tell you that it's fun. It involves three rings, and you can play with it later. It's kind of fun to see why all of these relations are satisfied. The associated graded is the same algebra as before, modulo an additional relation, which again is quadratic. And it's very, very easy to write an expansion. The expansion is, you just map sigma ij to the exponential of the corresponding generator, aij. and then verifying that it's an expansion is completely tautological. Well, it's very, very easy. All you have to verify is that the two sides of the Rademeister move agree, and the other relations as well, but they're even easier. And it becomes, basically, whenever you need a commutativity, you have it. So this is the product of the exponential of aij times the exponential of aik times the exponential of ajk. Now, these two commute by this by the relation written here, so you can combine them. Now, this sum commutes with this by the relation from the previous page about virtual groups, about virtual braids. So you can combine them, and then you can unpack them in the opposite order. My comments will be that, again, this extends to tangles. W tangles turn out to contain ordinary tangles, and as such, it generalizes the Alexander polynomial. It even generalizes to W trivalent tangles. So trivalent tangles are things in which there is an additional type of operation. So two rings can fly together for a while and then break up. Here it is schematically. So you have a purple ring flying and then becoming two rings, one red, one blue. And again, there is a theory of expansion, of Taylor expansions for these objects. And this turns out to be closely related to some, again, complicated algebra, the Kashiwara-Verne problem. But at the end of the day, I don't have an iterated integral version of this very simple formula, or a topological quantum field theory version of any other kind, even though there is something called BF theory, which comes very, very close. I think that's the end of my time. In fact, it's a minute and 38 seconds after the end of my time. Sorry.
Questions, comments? So do you have a topological kind of condition in mind when things have tail expansion or not? What is the intuition?
None.
I
mean, so the examples show you that nearby things, you know. So I have examples, okay? Now, there are also theorems, and perhaps people here are bigger experts than me, I don't know. So various fundamental groups of algebraic varieties tend to have Taylor expansions. But again, the braid group is an example, right? Because it's pi 1 of, configuration space inside Cn. The last example shows that it doesn't have to be that. Okay? So, no, I don't know what the... I don't have a thumb rule. Okay. Now I could say tons more about each of these examples and why each one is individually interesting, right? But I don't have much more to say general.
Yes. I have one question and one comment.
Yeah.
You mentioned virtual braids. I guess I didn't think about it too hard, but I naively thought that they were the same groups. If I said pi one of the configuration space at that point, it's literally a different group. That's what you were saying?
Virtual braids are not braids.
Right, so
definitely
is there
not.
Is one like a quotient of the other or?
Ordinary braids embed into virtual braids.
Okay.
Are they also a quotient? I don't think so.
Okay. And the other point I wanted to make as a comment, so I think this was pretty recent, but you wrote down one of the generators of loop statistics for like rings flying into each other.
Yeah.
It's actually a non-trivial generator with three loops. At least this is what I heard recently.
No.
And no?
No. No. This, okay, there are things, there are interesting things to say. So you see, the ordinary braids are somehow related to knots. Flying rings are somehow related to two knots. Okay, there are interesting and new things to say about two knots, but not about flying rings. Flying rings are well understood, completely understood. But you're probably referring to something about two knots.
Is it because of the fact that you're restricting the motion to just the rings to be horizontal?
No, it's the fact that I'm restricting the motion to be in a single time direction. Uh-huh. Not I don't allow things to go backwards in time. As would in tangles. Okay, so but this is fully well understood. The group is under completely control. In fact, Rimani, who was supposed to be here and is not here, is one of the people who many years ago brought it under control. So.
Okay. Other questions?